All right, we're in John 8, the 33rd verse of John 8, and we're going to continue this wonderful, wonderful truth. This wonderful truth upon which we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ live, and that is that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, Jesus has declared himself to be the light of the world. Can you imagine doing that? I am the light of the world. And Jesus Christ can do that because he is God. And he is in truth the light of the world. And in so doing, everything he says is light. You can open this scripture and know that the scripture is true. You can base your life upon the scripture because it's true, because Jesus Christ written is before you and he is the light of the world. There's no darkness in him. You know, there's a lot of darkness in us. We live so many times two or three or four lives. We try to be light. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to walk in the light. But there's darkness in us. But in Jesus Christ, what? No darkness. Now, in our study of John 8, he is in conversation with those of Israel who are leading the people to what they think is light. But it is not light, but only religion. Now, remember that religion is not light. For light is only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Light is in a person. Light is not in religion. Oh, religion says, come to this religion and we'll give you light. No, they won't. Unless they give you the Lord Jesus Christ, unless they present to you the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're false. They're liars. Religion is not a person. Religion is a system designed by man to placate a God. A God who is pictured mostly as an angry God who demands ritual, sacrifice, and ceremony. That woman in San Bernardino served such a God. An angry God. And that God told her to pick up those weapons, go into that room, and shoot 14 people along with her husband. That's an angry God that she has in her mind. Angry God, of course, we know is Satan. But light does not do this. Light opens up to man a Father God who loves them. Do you know that God loves you? Oh, what a truth that is. To know that God who created you loves you. And light opens up to man a Father God who loves them and has sent light that the pathway to him is clear. Oh, how do you get to God? You get to God by the light. And the light is Jesus Christ. For he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Oh, I was so heavy laden at one time in my life, not knowing light. So I came to Christ. And he gave me rest. Now, Jesus Christ makes plain to the religious hierarchy that they are slaves to sin, and only by him can they be rescued. For in John 8:32, he says, and ye shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall make you free. Oh, you're so burdened by living the life in sin. And the truth comes along, who is Jesus Christ, and he says, know me, and you'll be free. So by this, he declares that their religion is a vain exercise in its attempt to reach God, and only by knowing truth will they be made free. Their religion will not make them free. Their religion will bind them more and more to be slaves to sin, but the truth shall make you free. So Jesus will soon declare unto them that not only is he the light, but he is the truth. So only by knowing him will they be made free. Everything is in Christ, folks. Everything is in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. Everything that you need is met by Christ. The truth, Jesus Christ, the Word, the Son of God, the Son of Man, promises that those who stay in him, those who abide in his word, those who accept his word as their rule of faith and practice will be made free. The chains will be released. The chains of sin. So the kind of freedom Jesus Christ gives is the freedom to obey God. Boy, you say, what kind of freedom is that? Oh, that's the ultimate freedom for a created being of God. The freedom to obey God, a freedom we do not have in our natural state, which is a state of death. We don't think that. We're alive, but you're not alive to Christ unless you're in Christ. So we live in a natural state of death, for we are now dead in trespasses and sins, and can only be made alive to God by God himself. Has that transaction taken place in your life? Has there been a day when you laid down your life for Christ, repenting of your sins, calling upon God and saying, God, release me from this bondage? And has he come into your life and you've been born into the family of God? That's the question that you should ask. So without Christ, we are slaves to sin, and without power to obey God. You know, without Christ, you have no power to obey God. God is not pleased by your attempts because you're not in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But a Christian, one who is created anew in Christ Jesus, is now made free to move in harmony with the mind and the will of God. Now, do you seek the will of God in your life? Or you say, well, I'm going to do such and such, and I'm going to go to this place, and I'm going to do this and do this and do this. Well, is the will of God in that equation anywhere? Or do you just go about your life without seeking the will of God? Then you're a slave to sin. We no longer have to be in bondage to sin, but we now have the freedom to be obedient unto righteousness. So Paul proclaims in Romans 8:21 this act, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And then he calls this, he's so glad to say this, for he has realize this in his own life. Remember how he used to persecute Christians and drag them to jail and they would be killed? Delivered from the bondage of corruption into what? The glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty to be free from the bondage of sin. So the new birth delivers us from that which ties us up in corruption. That which enslaves, that which makes it impossible to serve God and gives us the power to obey and serve him. And again, listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Do you have the Spirit of the Lord in you? Well, if you do, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, what? There is liberty. Liberty. Oh, the liberty that is on the Statue of Liberty is not the kind of liberty that's talked about here. That has no reference to the liberty to serve God and to obey God. That is the physical liberty in this land. We love it. It's wonderful to have. But the liberty of Christ is the liberty to serve God and to obey God. So liberty is not to serve self. Liberty to serve God is what's talked about in Galatians 5:1. And we're to stand fast My, how we need soldiers of the cross that are willing to stand. Oh, this day is so casual. Oh, whatever. Whatever you want to do. But this says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And what? And be not entangled again with what? That yoke of bondage. Have you ever been an oxen with yoke on your neck? Oh, you're not free. You have to do what you're told. The yoke of bondage keeps you pulling for the world. But God takes that yoke of bondage and puts his yoke on, and now you're free to obey and serve God. And it's an easy yoke. Take my yoke upon you, he said. Take my yoke upon you. Oh, it's a comfortable yoke. It's a beautiful yoke, but it's a yoke. It's not just, you're not just free to serve self. You're not just free to do your own thing. You know, I remember that saying back in the 60s. Oh, that was a terrible decade, wasn't it? The 60s, we're seeing the fruit of it today. The 60s generation, their children are now adults. Do your own thing and go to hell. That will lead you to, but they never added that last phrase, you know. But sin will try to entangle you and lessen your liberty to serve God. Paul emphasizes this in Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. See, it's not a selfish liberty. It's got responsibilities. But by love, serve one another. Are you praying for each other? Do you see others' needs in the church? Do you see needs in the neighborhood? Do you see needs of loved ones? Or do you just live your life for yourself? But by love, serve one another. So liberty for an occasion to the flesh is not the liberty that God gives to serve him. Now, they were listening to Christ. They're standing there in their religious garb, looking so holy. They're listening to Christ and thinking in their mind, what is this fool? Where did he come from? So they respond in John 8:33, we be Abraham's seed. You know, in their uplifted nose profile. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage. Boy, they have a short memory, don't they? Don't they have a short memory? We're never in bondage to any man. How sayest ye, ye shall be made free, in their pompous way before our Lord? They should have been on the ground with their nose in the dirt, repenting of their sin, seeing themselves as they were in bondage to sin. But as usual, coming from the natural man, the message is missed. My, how you missed the message. If you're natural in here, unsaved, you're probably having trouble understanding what I'm talking about. You're missing the mark. God has to open up the Word of God to your mind and to your heart through the new birth. He's got to change you. He's got to bring you into the kingdom transformed with the new birth. So they missed the mark. They missed the point. For they are natural and walk not in light, but they walk in darkness. You know, when you walk in darkness, you stub your toe, you fall. You can't see. You try to gain your balance and you fall again, walking in darkness. They see only physical bondage, for the natural man is bound only to the physical. You know, God releases you from the five senses. Did you know that? Oh, the scientists say, oh, you only have five senses, but God gives you a sixth sense, a realization of him and a realization of his kingdom and the responsibility that you have to him. But you know, even in that, even in remembering the physical, they refuse to remember their history. They forgot the bitter. They forgot the cruel bondage in Egypt. that the earlier sons of Abraham had suffered through? What about the 400 years in Egypt? Remember all that brick that you piled up? Remember all that hay that you gathered? Remember when they denied the hay and you had to go get it yourself and make the brick? Remember the whips of the masters on your backs? Don't you remember that? They forgot the bondage of the oppressors during the time of the judges. They forgot the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Can you imagine being taken from your land into another foreign land? Can you imagine if the Muslims came over and invaded Milton and took you out and brought you to Iraq? Oh, the bondage. They were so proud that you know that sudden destruction is imminent in Israel, soon to happen. Oh, Israel suffered in a few years. But these are insulted. They think of themselves as holy. They think of themselves as high and mighty. They think of themselves as above the people. They have the holy robes. So this itinerant preacher dares to say that they are not free, but instead they are in bondage. But you know, man is no different today. For modern man continues to be a slave to sin. I probably would say even deeper, for they've left the light. No difference today than with the Jews who stood before Jesus Christ. The natural man does not want to hear that he is not free. You bring that up in your witness. Oh, you're not free. You're in bondage to sin. What is sin? Oh, sin is just a control on you, just a thought that controls you from doing what you please. I have no sin. I can do what I please. He cannot tolerate this message. Try telling the sinner that there is no good thing in him. But that's what the Bible tells us. There's no good thing in him. Tell him that he is a slave of sin. Tell him that he is a captive of Satan. Tell him that he cannot think a godly thought. Wow, how bold. Huh? Desperately wicked. Oh, that's terrible to say that. How nasty of you. How mean of you. Tell him that he cannot believe. Tell him that he cannot please God. You can't please God. Oh, I'm such a good person. Look at all the things I've given. I'm a philanthropist. I make millions and I give millions. You call me that? Tell him these things and he will tell you that you are wrong and that he is not in bondage. You know, a sinner does not know that he is not free and that he is dead to the truth. They don't know that. Why? Because they're walking, what? In darkness. But except by the grace of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the grace of God coming into my life. The unmerited favor. I'm a sinner and God loves me and he presents to me the grace of God. You want to know, son? Yes, I want to know. So you fall on your knees and you repent and he brings you into the kingdom through the new birth. But except by the grace of God, neither would you nor neither would I accept these truths. So Jesus retorts their claim. In John 8:34, verily, verily, oh, Jesus uses those words of a truth. Oh, they're strong words. I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. There's the truth of the scriptures. He does not get on the track they try to lay. He stays on the spiritual track that he has laid. That's one thing you notice of Jesus Christ. He doesn't get diverted. This is a witness truth that we need to have in our own witness. We don't get diverted. Oh, the sinner wants to go on the sidetrack. Wants to go on this sidetrack that goes down this lane. But take him on the track of truth. So he stays on the spiritual track, not physical bondage, he tells them, but spiritual bondage. There is no greater bondage. There is a greater bondage than social or economic slavery. Wow, the world doesn't think so. Oh, it's all about the economy. Remember that that KISS principle of Clinton? What did he say? Keep it simple, stupid. And he was talking about the economy. It was all about the economy. You look in Revelation where all the economy is disrupted by God Himself, and the merchants are weeping and wailing because they put all their hope on the economy. They're in bondage to that. So you continue to serve sin. Your life is dominated by sin if you do not repent. You're bound by Satan, the slave master of sin, and sin binds you. You do not have freedom to serve God according to God's will. So Jesus Christ points his finger at them in their holy garb. Their minds saying, we've never been in bondage. And he says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So this is the bottom line. This is the conclusion of the matter. When truth says that, it's true. When light says that, it's true. And it's for our benefit to open up to our minds what we are. And he continues with this theme in John 8, 35 and 36. And this is a warning to these holy men. This is a warning to the Pharisees. This is a warning to the scribes. Oh, you claim connection with Abraham. You claim connection with Israel, God's people. But he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So Jesus Christ tells them that the status of a servant in this world, in Satan's house, is not secure. Oh my, how you see lives destroyed, lives cut short, lives hampered and hindered by disease because of the lifestyle that is made in sin. He tells them in this, a slave can be sold to another owner. A slave has no permanent standing in the master's house. A slave only has temporary standing in the family. If sold, he is then in bondage to a new owner. Oh, the Jews were so proud of their standing because they were of Abraham's house. They were of Abraham's seed. Oh, how proud they were of that. They belonged to the favored family. They thought God saw them be in Abraham's family. Well, one thing they didn't understand is who is in Abraham's family? Who truly is in Abraham's family? But by saying this, that the slave abides not forever in the house, he infers that just being the natural descendants of Abraham gives them no title to the blessings that belong to Abraham's spiritual children. You know? Oh, you can be the natural child of Abraham, but that doesn't cut it with God. Why? Because God is pleased by faith. He's pleased by the faith of Abraham. Just being a part of a chosen people did not entitle them to abide in the house. Only the son of the house abides in the house. You better get in the son if you want to abide in God's house. How do you abide in God's house? You get into the son of the house. The slaves of sin serve sin and will be sold from the house. Remember Isaac and Ishmael? Think about that example. Which one of those abided as a son? Well, of course, we know that Isaac abided as a son. Ishmael was the son of the bondwoman. And what happened to Ishmael? Banished. The son of Abraham, banished. Why? Because he wasn't the spiritual son. And he was banished from the house. So unless they were made free, they would soon be cut off from the temporary place of privilege that they presumed to be a permanent place. How they presumed wrongly. You know, you may say, well, I've been raised in a Christian home. My family's Christian. I'm in a privileged place. And yes, you are. You're in a privileged place. But you know, God looks on you as an individual. An individual. Babies are born individuals. And He expects you to be born again, regardless of your privileged position. So Jesus Christ came to set them free. He is the only one that can loose the chains of sin and set them free to truly serve God. You know, when I was born again into the family of God, I didn't just go my way, but I knew now I had a responsibility to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought me with His blood. I had a responsibility to serve. I'm not saved for nothing. I'm saved to serve. So Jesus Christ came to preach deliverance to the captives of sin and captivate them to Himself. He came to deliver from the condemnation of sin. He came to deliver from the power of Satan. He came to deliver from the bondage of sin. And He came to deliver from the authority or fear of man. My, how your lives are regulated by the fear of man, are they not? Unless you're loosed from that by the Lord Jesus Christ. As I have said before, this deliverance was not so that man could just do their own thing, but it was so that man would be now free from the bondage of sin to what? To serve God. In sin, there is no freedom to serve God because sin is man's master. And Jesus Christ said, no man can serve what? Two masters. Try to serve two masters. Your wife won't like it if you start serving some other wife. Oh, she won't do it. She won't like it. You got to serve her and she's got to serve you. No man can serve two masters. A sinner saved by the grace of God is no longer free to follow his old nature without consequences. You know, salvation brings a switch. Salvation brings a switch. You don't want a switch, don't get saved. But I've learned that God has a switch. And I go down the wrong road, whap, I get that switch. Oh yes, God, I know I'm going down the wrong road. And I repent, and I get back on the right road. But there's consequences in this new life. Spiritual freedom is not license to do as I please, but freedom to do as I ought. Oh, what a wonderful freedom that is. I now do as I was created to do. You know, God, you know, if you make something, you created for a particular purpose. How would you like that which you create to do something else? You create a chair and the chair says, I don't want to be a chair. I don't want to be sat on. Some people are so heavy and I hurt. I don't want to do that. I want to be a table. You wouldn't like that, would you? Well, God created us to serve Him. Two passages verify this as the freedom Jesus is talking about. And with these passages, we'll close out this lesson. But in Luke 1, 74 and 75, that He would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Now, in holiness and righteousness before him for a week, for a month, for as long as you feel good about it, all the days of our life. That's quite a commitment, isn't it? All the days of our life. Mrs. Hobbs, have you served the Lord all the days of your life since you've been saved? You've tried, haven't you? You've tried. Brother Paul, Mrs. Paul, serve the days all your life in holiness. How'd you do it? Because you were brought into the kingdom. You were brought into Christ, and Christ is truth. Christ is the light of the world, and you walked in the light. You walked in the truth because you were in Christ. And the last one in Romans 6, 16 through 18 and 22. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death. Here's the options. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. See, you're either servants of sin or you're servants of righteousness. There's no other job available. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, what? Everlasting life. Wow, what a reward that is. Yes, you are called upon to give your life to Christ. You are called upon to walk in the way of righteousness all your life, whether it's a year, whether it's 50 years, whether it's 75 years or 100. But then, what do we have? Everlasting life, to be with our Lord forever. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We get rest now, but the ultimate rest is yet to come, so we're thankful for that. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this truth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What would we do without our Lord? What would we do without the light? What would we do without the truth? What would we do without the bread? All of these things, Father, are for our eternal life, and we praise you for it. Do bless us now. Bless our congregation, Father. May we walk in truth. And if there be any in here that are not in Christ, O Lord, they must come to Christ before it's too late. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.